Welcome to you all to this Thanksgiving service. Those of you who've already been at the crematorium and now everybody else who's come, thank you for coming. And it's good that we have such a big crowd here to honour Barbara and to thank God for her. We do not have enough printed orders of service, which is a nice problem and a mark about how many people who have come. If there is one that in front of you in your pew, can I ask you please to share? If you can't see one, can I ask you instead to look for a bright red book called Singing the Faith? Because all the hymns that Barbara chose for this service are in that book. Again, it's possible there might not quite be one each. You might need to share that as well. But we will get through, and we will seek God's comfort in our grief at Barbara's passing, but we will also celebrate her life and give thanks to God for her. We begin our service with these words, words that connect with Barbara's faith. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. If you're following the printed order of service, you need to be on page 5. Because the earlier part covered the Krem service. And if you're using the Singing the Faith book, you need number 272. And as I said at the crematorium, all the music was chosen by Barbara. And so we are beginning this service with the hymn that we ended at the Krem. We sing The Servant King.
Thank you.
you like to take your seats? Let us pray. Loving God, who brought us to birth, help us to live as those who are prepared for death. Enable us to hear your message of death overcome and life renewed, that as we face the mystery of death, we may see the light of eternity through Christ, our risen Saviour. Amen. And so we meet in this solemn moment to worship God, to give thanks for the life of our sister Barbara, to commend her to God's loving and faithful care, and to pray for all who mourn. And though there is a good number of us here today, I'm aware of others who would wish to be here but who can't, but we include them in our thoughts and prayers too today. In the presence of death, Christ offers us sure ground for hope and confidence, and even for joy in the midst of our grief, because he shared our human life and death but was raised again triumphant and lives forevermore, and in him his people find eternal life. And so we hear words of Holy Scripture that we may draw comfort and strength from them. And we hear one of the traditional readings for a service such as this, some verses, as you'll see if you have the order of service, from John chapter 14, where Jesus is with his friends on the night when he knows he will be betrayed to his own suffering. And at this time when you might expect him to be consumed with thoughts about himself, his mind is more on how his friends will be. And so we hear this conversation between Jesus and his disciples in that light. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Thanks be to God for his word. I'm going to invite Margaret to come to the lectern now and read the poem, The Glory of the Garden.
Those of you who knew Barbara well would know that she loved her garden, and this poem is one of her favourites, and she asked for it to be read at the service today. The Glory of the Garden by Rudyard Kipling. Our England is a garden that is full of stately views, of borders, beds and shrubberies, and lawns and avenues, with statues on the terraces and peacocks strutting by. But the glory of the garden lies in more than meets the eye. For where the old thick laurels grow along the thin red wall, you find the tool and potting sheds, which are the heart of all, the cold frames and the hot houses, the dung pits and the tanks, the rollers, carts and drain pipes, with the barrows and the planks. And there you'll see the gardeners, the men and prentice boys, told off to do as they are top bid, and do it without noise. For, except when seeds are planted, and we shout to scare the birds, the glory of the garden, it abideth not in words. And some can pot begonias, and some can bud a rose, and some are hardly fit to trust with anything that grows. But they can roll and trim the lawns, and sift the land, the sand and loam, for the glory of the garden occupieth all who come. Our England is a garden, and such gardens are not made by singing, "Oh, how beautiful," and sitting in the shade, while better men than we go out and start their working lives at grubbing weeds from gravel paths with broken dinner knives. There's not a pair of legs so thin, there's not a head so thick, there's not a hand so weak and white, nor yet a heart so sick, but it can find some needful job that's crying to be done, for the glory of the garden glorifieth everyone. Then seek your job with thankfulness, and work till further orders, if it's only netting strawberries or killing slugs on borders. And when your back stops aching and your hands begin to harden, you will find yourself a partner in the glory of the garden. Oh, Adam was a gardener, and God who made him sees that half a proper gardener's work is done upon his knees. So when your work is finished, you can wash your hands and pray for the glory of the garden, that it may not pass away. And the glory of the garden, it shall never pass away.
Thank you, Margaret. We sing another of Barbara's hymn choices now. It's in the order of service, but if you're using the singing the faith book, you need number 519. Number 519. We stand to sing, "Father, I place into your hands the things I cannot do."
Thank you.
So let us celebrate Barbara's life. And if you have read her book or known her through other places, you will recognise a lot of what I'm going to say. There are some spare copies of Barbara's book available, and my understanding is that the family is making these available now free of charge. So I think we have the stock here at the church somewhere. Well, you heard of Barbara's love of the garden, and Barbara came from the garden of England. Barbara came from Kent, the fourth of seven children born to Winifred and Keith Hadlow, and grew up with her siblings in villages around the Faversham, Whitstable and Canterbury areas of Kent. Her first job as a teenager was working as a mother's help in the home of a doctor. And from there she moved to a residential job in a Kent County Council nursery called Hitchin Hatch in Sevenoaks. After 17 months there, she was selected for a 2-year residential training course in Tunbridge. And gaining her NNEB qualification at the end of this period, she returned to Hitchin Hatch. However, she soon applied for a temporary post at Gorse Nursery in Chislehurst, which then became a permanent position. By this time, Barbara had become a keen owner of a scooter. And if you come to the front, you can see a picture. Although a collision with a car left her with concussion and a spinal injury. She shared her love of scootering with some of her siblings and work colleagues, and this lasted until a later mishap with a bus, after which she took driving lessons. When news leaked out that Gorse Hill was going to be changed from a nursery into a children's home, Barbara looked for alternative employment and went to work for the nearby Hill family looking after their children. Her next job after that, though, took her to a very different environment, to the East End of London, to Plaistow, to be precise, where she worked at the Howard Baker Nursery. Some of the children in her charge here were Down's syndrome boys who had been rejected by their parents. She would care for several disabled children there, and Barbara spent 7 years at that nursery, during which time she acquired Rex the dog. After taking a break with her family, she became a housekeeper for a family in Lingfield. Here, the children were not economically deprived like many of those she encountered in Plaistow. Here, what they lacked was parental attention. And Barbara told the parents as much. Good for her. Next, she became the matron at Rittlewick Residential Nursery in Chelmsford. And as Barbara knew, Rittlewick was a place that Debbie and I knew when we were in Chelmsford before moving here. Rittlewick was no longer a nursery in our time. It had become a family centre and a health centre, especially for children and families. It was the place we took our youngsters to for vaccinations and for their red books to be checked, so that the children aspect stayed there. When Barbara left Rittlewick, because the atmosphere work-wise sadly became intolerable, she took work at first not dealing with children, but in a greengrocer's shop back in Lingfield. Well, the news on Christmas Day 1975 apparently reported the birth of quads to a Dutch couple in Oxted. And then the job of the nanny for those four babies was advertised in a professional journal. Barbara applied and was appointed. And that was the last job she did before she moved to Woking, because in July 1976, she came to Woking to be matron of Highlands Nursery for Surrey County Council. As well as the children there, Barbara gave a home to another dog. This was Roger the Poodle, or Roger the Dodger, I think he was called, and who I gather seems to love playing football. Highlands was closed as part of the transition to the emphasis on foster care. And Barbara's asthma meant that when County Hall couldn't offer her a comparable post, she was retired early on health grounds in 1981. She moved into her flat in Wayside Court in Goldsworth Park, but a health visitor knew about her talents and asked her to help out with some little children, and eventually Barbara began to foster pre-adoption children. And one of them's with us, because she's called Susie. And Barbara asked to be considered as an adoptive parent for Susie, which, of course, as we know, she was. And in being willing to take on Susie with all her combination of needs, I suggest to you that this was one area where Barbara reflected the love of Jesus for the last and the least, in contrast to the way our world often values power, glamour, and success. And I said at the creme that it just seemed so fitting that Barbara had asked for that hymn, The Servant King, to be sung, which ends with that emphasis on us learning to serve, because Barbara was a model of that. Eventually, Barbara's osteoarthritis meant she had to give up the fostering. She concentrated on Susie and on her own mother until her mum died in 2006. Barbara, since coming to Goldsworth Park, had become active in this church. She was one of the leaders of our midweek Wednesday afternoon group, Cameo. She sometimes devised quizzes for Cameo. She was also one of our communion stewards who would set up and set down everything for Holy Communion. And one of the things I'm going to miss, and I already missed last Sunday, was no longer seeing Barbara coming up and down the steps with the bread or with the trays of the wine glasses. And she was meticulous and careful in the part she played in that. She went on holiday with some friends from this church at times, and also on an ecumenical trip to Israel. I gather there are some funny stories to be told about the Israel trip and the introduction to a wet room, but maybe I'll leave others to tell you those stories over the refreshments afterwards. Barbara and Susie went to some church members' homes to share Christmas as well. And we too became aware of her great love of poetry. Church socials, if you people were asked to do a turn, you knew what Barbara would do. She would find a selection of her favourite poems and share them with us. We heard about her love of gardening, and gardening and poetry came together in the Kipling poem. Perhaps it was no surprise to know that she wanted that read at this service. She tended her own beautiful garden at home. She loved her membership of the RSHS that took her to Wisley. And indeed, her love of Wisley was infectious enough for Susie to pick it up too as a favourite place. Well, wouldn't that be lovely, Susie? Yeah. Barbara loved other parts of nature. She had a particular affection for robins. And she continued her love of learning and knowledge with the University of the Third Age. She was a collector, and of course, if you visited her flat at Wayside Court, you will have seen her collection of thimbles. You will have seen her dolls' houses, especially that large one, which I understand is now in the possession of the light box. And the light box doesn't take rubbish, does it, if you know it? What incredible it is that Barbara's stuff has entered there. And perhaps most poignantly, we'll remember the dignity and the bravery with which Barbara faced the seemingly endless hospital appointments and treatments for her various conditions, including the tumour. And Barbara could face them the way she did because it was her faith in the resurrection of Jesus that gave her the hope that her bodily infirmities would not have the final say. And so, in the church family, we will remember Barbara as our sister in Christ. In the Hadlow family, she will be remembered as mum, as a sister, and as Auntie Barb. But we remember her not as gone in a permanent sense, only as gone from our presence now. Parted temporarily until the resurrection. Barbara may have died before Easter, but perhaps it's fitting that we're celebrating her life in the Easter season. And so we grieve, perhaps we cry, or however it is we express our sorrow. But we do so with hope, the hope Barbara herself had. We grieve with the hope that she and we, by faith in Christ, will be raised from the dead. We will see her in the presence of Christ. No longer will she stoop because of her infirmities. Barbara will stand up straight. And we will be there with her in the presence of hers and our Saviour and Lord. And may he give us all hope today as we mark her passing from this life. Amen. I can't help but think that Barbara's next hymn choice was fitting to her character too. If you don't have the printed order of service, you need the Singing the Faith book at number 707. We stand to sing, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace." Thank you. Would you be seated? I'm going to lead three prayers now. The first prayer is one where we thank God for the hope he can give us, even in the face of death. The second prayer is one where we will specifically thank God for Barbara. So just take a moment now to think of one of the things that was special to you about her. And then the third prayer, a brief prayer, will be one where we're asking God to comfort us in our grief. Let us pray. Glory and thanks be given to you, Almighty God, our Father, because in your great love for the world, you gave your Son to be our Saviour. He lived our life, bore our griefs, and died our death upon the cross. We thank you that you have brought him back from death with power and great glory, that he has conquered sin and death, and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. We praise you for the great company of the faithful, whom Christ has brought through death, to behold your face in glory, who join with us in worship, prayer, and service. For your full, perfect, and sufficient gift of life in Christ, all praise and thanks be given to you, forever and ever. Amen. Eternal God, in your wisdom and grace, you have given us joy through the lives of your departed servants. We thank you for Barbara and for our memories of her. We hold before you our own special and fond memories of her, for the love she gave to her family, for her professional life, for the things she enjoyed in your good world. And we praise you for your goodness and mercy that followed her all the days of her life, and for her faithfulness in the tasks to which you called her. We give you thanks that her faith informed the way she cared for children. We give you thanks for the way she served the last and the least. We thank you that she shared her love of creation with others. We thank you that her love and fellowship overflowed to others, and for the way she kept in touch as much as she could with children she had served. We thank you that what she did was infectious, has influenced us, has influenced Susie. As we remember the physical struggles Barbara had, today we thank you that for her the tribulations of this world are over, and death is past, and we pray that you will bring us with her to the joy of your perfect kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And finally, a prayer for ourselves. Almighty God, Father of all mercies and giver of all comfort, deal graciously with us who mourn, that we may cast every care on you and know the consolation of your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so in a moment we come to the final hymn that Barbara picked for this occasion. It's in your printed order of service, or it's at number 476, number 476 in Singing the Faith. At the end of this hymn, One More Step Along the World I Go, may I ask you please to remain standing for a closing prayer and a blessing. And then may I encourage you to come through for refreshments, and please come if you possibly can, because the family's very generously ordered lots of food. You will not go hungry. And a reminder to you that donations in Barbara's memory, the details are on the back of the printed order of service, are to the charity Linkability. So let us stand to sing One More Step Along the World I Go. So we pray. Bring us, Lord our God, at our last awakening into the house and gate of heaven, to enter into that gate and dwell in that house, where there shall be no darkness nor dazzling, but one equal light, no noise nor silence, but one equal music, no fears nor hopes, but one equal possession, no ends nor beginnings, but one equal eternity, in the habitation of your glory and dominion, world without end. Amen. And the blessing. May God, in his infinite love and mercy, bring the whole church, living and departed in the Lord Jesus, to a joyful resurrection and the fulfillment of his eternal kingdom. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you always. Amen.